This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio today with
Arvind Braj
and Andre Raj,
who you've just heard in the advert there.
Hey!
And of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
Now, we're with you for another 10 minutes or so, a little bit longer than that. The question that we're asking is whether or not you'd buy your groceries online and what would encourage you to do so. Before the break, Oz posed us a question as to whether or not we'd buy our TVs online. And there's a clear divide between me and Arvind. Arv, you go first.
I said I would. Like, I would definitely buy it. I would even buy the produce online because of crippling laziness. But but like TVs and stuff, I think the last 3 or 4 years, I've only got my electronics from online platforms. I've never gone and picked them up from stores because I just find, one, it's cheaper, and two, I can sort of hold the platform accountable or responsible if something goes wrong.
Right. I'm on the other side of that for the most part. I like the idea of buying electric goods online. I like the idea. I've had a few bad experiences with stuff that I've bought online. So for a bigger product, a more expensive product, I'd probably go in the store, having done my research, and buy it from a store and pay just a little bit extra, knowing that if something goes wrong, the store's still going to be there the next day.
You have a human contact.
Yeah, I've got a human contact. Mm-hmm. Right. Do we have any more messages we want to talk about?
Yeah, so this comes from a very interesting message from Kavindran, who says, great topic, BFM. I'm a blind visionary, and I'm always optimistic about tech as it enhances and improves life inclusively. As a blind person, I really find Tesco eShop very accessible, both on mobile and its site. I always do eShopping for pretty much everything, as it is very convenient, and most of all, it's blind-friendly. And then he says that he likes the way these services sort of cater to that demographic. They are quite friendly when they do know that I'm blind after witnessing it. All these e-services, be it grab food, ride services, deliveries, e-shops, being said to produce lazy consumers. It's not the case. However, this is the golden age for the disabled, and we are benefiting the most.
Great. That's a nice uplifting message. Thanks for that. Right. We're going to move on. Any more? No?
Nope,
okay,
nope.
The poll currently is set at 75% to 25% of you do not order your groceries online. Let us know why. You've still got a few minutes left before we talk about robots.
Yeah, so... Well, last week, you know, we were talking so much about CES and all the cool and weird tech stuff that, you know, CES 2020 showed us. Samsung introduced the world to its home robot called Bolly, also at CES last week. Everybody's talking about how it reminded them of BB-8 from Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, Star Wars, Rich, the movie that all of us watched last year, but then you just caught up, like, yesterday?
I remember.
Yeah,
just finally got to see it.
I'm so glad that you caught up. Okay, so for those who don't know, Bolly is... it's a home robot that it's the size of a tennis ball. It looks like a tennis ball, but it is an artificial intelligence enhanced and camera equipped robot that's engineered to follow your voice commands and provide you with companionship. Bolly's primary function at the moment seems to be its ability to navigate floors autonomously and to answer to your voice commands. Samsung wants it to support you and react to your needs and be actively helpful around the house as well, because it's going to remotely command or control all your smart home functions, like your robot, I mean, no, robots, but your vacuum robots, your fridge, your air conditioning, your thermostat, all of these things. If you go online, you can find a video that Samsung released on Bolly, and it shows how a woman and her pet corgi, how they go about their day with the help of Bolly. Bolly just follows her around, opens her curtains in the morning, sets off her alarm, turns on her TV for her, and then when she leaves home, the Bolly actually turns on the TV for her dog as well. And when anything else kind of spills on the floor, it activates the Roomba, the vacuum cleaner, to clean it up as well. So the house is clean as the girl comes home as well.
I'm assuming there are no steps in this house.
No.
Okay.
I didn't see any in the video. But experts say this simple home robot could be way more powerful than BB-8 in Star Wars, as in it could take down the evil empires of both Google and Amazon all by itself. And here's how it's going to do it. In just a few short years, every gadget lover has bought either a Google Assistant or an Amazon Echo. 29 million Smart speakers were sold just in 2019. And Google and Amazon are dominating this category. Experts say Google has a little bit of an edge to that. But on the surface, the stakes with voice assistants, it looks massive. But can I ask you guys, Rich, you have a Google Assistant at home. Other than controlling Spotify, checking the weather, and having a knowledge base of everything on the internet, what else do you use it for?
Other than having an entire knowledge base of everything on the internet. Reminders, I do it for that. I do it to remind me of where I've saved things or where I've put things. I get it to, because I've now tied it up with Google Duo, so it can make phone calls from home. Little bits and it's generally my knowledge base and my memory bank.
But it's not going to set off the coffee maker for you. It's not going to open your curtains for you. Yes, it could, but right now it can't. But right. So this is where Samsung could steal pole position from Amazon. So
I will be honest though, the Google Home device has not been as reliable lately as it should have been. And that is a big issue with a lot of the Google products right now. So this is where they, I'd imagine, would start to shine.
So what Samsung has done here is, Samsung knows that the age of bots is coming. And so what it's done is it's created one bot to control all these other bots. Now, the idea behind Bolly is not to supply answers to all your questions, but it will tell other devices like your vacuum, your smart TV, your dishwasher, your fridge, your thermostat, just what to do. And if consumers are headed towards living in fully wired smartphones in the near future, whoever builds that device that is the hub of that home would be in a pretty powerful position, because think about media and advertising. All the data it will collect based on your needs and your commands. If it is controlling your fridge, it knows what you order, what you eat, what you need, your cleaning devices, it knows everything. And so that, if it has control of all your data, that makes it the most powerful device in your house, not just your voice assistant.
Why is it for some reason that when Samsung says they want to collect all your information, it doesn't sound as threatening as when Google says they want to collect all your information? Because
they're so polite about it,
I think it's also because that they are like an electronics maker. And then when you hear them collecting your information, you're like, yeah, okay, it might make things easier for me. But when Google says it or when Facebook says it, you're like, what are you actually doing with with my stuff? I think it's so smart that they made it look like a ball. The only way something could be cuter than this is if Disney starts making a robot for themselves. And they sort of designed it, even though you say it's going to rule all the robots, it's not intimidating, it doesn't move like in a weird way, it isn't like creepy, it doesn't have a face. It looks like a tiny animal that just follows you around the house. So you don't feel like threatened, or you don't feel like it's creeping about like behind you. It looks like a pet, basically.
That's the thing, it's done. Samsung has charmed the world with Bolly. And so you really don't... It's called Bolly too, right?
It's called Bolly.
And at the end of that video that you can watch online, she says, hello, Bolly, or, good night, Bolly. And I don't see why that is going to... take over my world,
It's collecting every single thing about you. I mean, I love the idea of personal assistants and smart assistants, but to get Bolly to control all of these things, you first have to install smart curtains, and you have to have a smart fridge and a smart TV and a Roomba and all of these little things. So to get to that point where Bolly can do all of these things that they're telling us it can and is able to do, there's a big outlay first, there's a big expense first before you can have this cute little ball rolling around in your house. Otherwise, it doesn't really do a lot. You already have to be invested in that smart infrastructure before doing something.
But guess who's making all the smart infrastructure? Yeah. All the curtains and the TVs and the fridges.
And the software behind that is called Smart Things.
Well, one thing's for sure, if this is Samsung's main aim, and now that they know that Bolly is out there and this is what Bolly can do, and that's why Samsung's designed Bolly in such a way, Google and Amazon, they're going to strike back.
Right, it's time for us to wrap up for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for all of your tweets, your WhatsApp messages, and of course your Instagram posts. Let me just do a quick update of the poll numbers. It is at 74% of you have said no, you don't buy your groceries online, compared to 76 at the start of the show. This is because of the story about how rural farmers are getting help selling produce online as China steps up poverty alleviation efforts. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about if you should be investing in an 8K TV and if it'll have any content for you to watch on.
And finally, Bolly, the one bot to rule them all in your house.
Now, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The Touch and Go e-wallet is amongst the fastest growing mobile payment app in the country, but can it grow quickly enough to battle out its competitors? The Breakfast Grill spoke with the CEO, Ignatius Ong, about how the platform is faring in such a crowded field. They also discussed grievances consumers have with the app, as well as how the company might be impacted by the government's e-Tunai Rakyat program announced in Budget 2020. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj, Audrey Raj, and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.